This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
We have television programs called Law and Order. We talk about a nation of laws and not of men. We talk about somehow that the law rules America and therefore men do not rule America. We are a nation under laws. But is that true? Well, perhaps it depends on who's running the law. But what if you are using the law inappropriately? What if you are designing to use the law deceptively? What if you're designing to use the law to advance power, perks, and position rather than to protect the public against unrighteous behavior? Then what do you call it when the law is being used to accomplish those nefarious purposes? Maybe we could call it the law run amok. Or we might be able to call it the spirit of lawlessness. What else would you call it? Arrogance? Pride? Or prizing power while despising truth? Today on Viewpoint, we're going to take a look at what's happening in our paralyzing, perilous nation. We are under the perilous of the peril of the color of law that is not being administered law fully. In other words, full of law. It's being administered full of everything but the law. But the law is being used as the device to accomplish exactly the contrary purposes for which the law has been established. What would you call that? Corruption? Dissimulation? Lying? What would you call that? Or the intent to disrupt and destroy the constitutional authority of the United States of America and to completely turn all law on its head so that chaos will reign supreme. Today on Viewpoint, we're going to take a look at what is happening in our country. Now, we're going to take a look mostly with regard to what's happening with regard to the law and Donald Trump and all of those cases, because they appear to be falling apart. But why are they falling apart? Are they falling apart over technicalities, or are they falling apart because they never were real, that they were always false, and that they were trumped up, pun intended, trumped up in order to use the law as the final effort to win an election and protect somebody else from getting elected? Is that election interference? Maybe election interference is actually the ultimate goal. But election interference is actually the pursuit of power. And the pursuit of power destroys the pursuit of purity under law, and therefore the entire trust in the justice system of the United States is put at risk. And that's where we are. That's right where we are. Now, before we talk about the matter of Donald Trump and these various cases that are against him, and virtually all of them are falling apart, today we don't talk about this as a Republican or a Democrat matter. Ultimately, it's not about Republicans and Democrats. Ultimately, it's about truth. God desires truth in the inward parts, whether you're Republican or Democrat. It's not about power. It's about God's power, not about man's power. If we exalt man's power over God's power, we're in deep trouble. Now, one of the classic illustrations of what is going on here, the spirit of the matter, goes not to the Trump allegations, but to the protesters holding a mock court sentencing of George Washington University president and other school officials. Yes, you have that correct. From Israel National News today, We didn't hear it in America's legacy news media, but it had to come from Israel National News. Anti-Israel protesters at Washington University in Washington, D.C., called for the guillotine to be used on University President Ellen Granberg and other school administrators during a mock tribunal. Videos posted to social media revealed. In the video, protesters yelled, "Guilty," and they repeatedly chanted, "Guillotine, guillotine, guillotine," and others shouted, "To the guillotine." The provost of the university was also called out as a possible target for execution. And as the mock court, protesters chanted, "Bracey, Bracey, we see you. You assault students. Off to the mother bank gallows with you too." And the university's board of trustees was also given a sentence of beheading. As I read this, friends, I couldn't help but remember Charles Dickens' Tale of Two Cities about the French Revolution. If you have never read that book, a classic, you need to read it. You really do. It's a book for our time. It will help you to understand the spirit of what is happening in America. It is a reenactment in spirit of the French Revolution, where law and order degenerated into lawless disorder. And initially, supposedly under color of law, the guillotine was created by a doctor by the name of Dr. Guillotine, who created it as a so-called nice, clean way of execution, painless way of execution. And so it took on the name guillotine. Well, then initially, as the revolt in France began to bubble up against leadership and against clergy and so on, they began to use the guillotine in rather modest ways, at least from their perspective, and they would fill the heads of these wagons, tumbrils they called them, with the heads of the people that were being executed. But then there came a point in time within a couple of years that the spirit of this so-called lawful process of justice deteriorated into a rampant anti-justice, injustice, to the point where the people went crazy under color of law, and they began to use Madame Guillotine with ever-increasing frequency until the streets of Paris flowed with blood coming out of the necks of everybody that they could round up. And the tumbrils rolled through the streets of Paris, desecrating the streets of Paris, all in the name of liberty, equality, and fraternity. And France got neither liberty, nor equality, nor eternity. Eternal. So much so that when Alexis de Tocqueville came over to this country 30 years later, he was shocked at how stable America was, because we were a nation under law. Not so much anymore, friends. We'll be back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
The term under color of law means in the name of law. Supposedly in the name of law, under color of law, means supposedly in the name of law and order, in the name of justice. But what if that which is done in the name of law and justice is just the opposite? What if the motivations are the motivations of a heart that is so reprobate, so despising of true law and order and justice that, in fact, the very nature of justice itself is totally perverted in order to protect and preserve power, perks, and position. That's where we stand today. America has faced many a scandal. We know that. If you have read your history books, you know that there were many scandals throughout American history. Scandals among businessmen, scandals in the courts, and so on. But this scandalous situation that we're experiencing now and have been experiencing for the last several years is probably the greatest legal scandal ever in the history of the country. In fact, it's beyond the pale. Nobody could ever have imagined anything like this. But here it is. Here it is with a particular political party having decided that they so much hate a particular candidate that they're willing to do anything, even distort, pervert, and even make up laws in order to try to destroy the person, the position, the economic sustainability, and the hope of even being a respected human being in the very society from which that man once served as president. That's where we are today. And regardless of political party, regardless of whether you carry an R or a D behind your name or nothing behind your name, what we're talking about today is of such grave consequences to the future of our country, but it's also reflecting the very condition of our country. That we're not a country of laws, but a country of men and of power brokers. And that we basically have given up being a nation under laws and actually want to be a nation under the powerful, seeking to use the law corruptly in order to accomplish nefarious agendas. That's where we are. So, before me right now are about a dozen articles. They're all laid out in a nice little organized fashion, and I want to share some of these with you so that you can begin to get the picture here. Sometimes it's not just what is said, but it's how it's said, the way things are framed together that enable us to grasp the severity, the meaning, the implications for our time and for your life and for mine. Because if these things can take place against a former president of the United States in the manner that is now being unfolded just this very week in the last 2 days or the last 3 or 4 days, where the courts are in chaos now, what's happening is so unbelievably grave, so corrupt, that one can barely get their minds and hearts around it. Even judges. When the judges become corrupt in the system and embrace the law as a political engine or engine of destruction or control, you know we're in deep trouble. Because that's exactly the opposite of the intent of law and order. Law and order must be first based upon the law that preserves order. And the number one purpose of government is to protect the citizens against enemies, foreign and domestic. Anyone that violates fundamental order in a society is an enemy of that society. And therefore, the government must exercise legal control to make sure that the citizenry is not destroyed by the enemy, either foreign, like Hamas, or domestic, like even judges and lawyers that are, and politicians now, that are confederating together, and the proof is now in the pudding. Confederating together for several years now to accomplish agendas in the name of the law that are totally contrary to the spirit of the law. Montesquieu, the famous writer back there from France, once wrote a piece called The Spirit of the Laws. We're not living in the spirit of the law at all here in America today. We're living in the spirit of corruption, where law is used as the means of carrying out the corruption. And so we take a further detailed look here on the program today. We'll begin by taking a look at a report that came out today. Probe launched into Jack Smith's tampering with Trump evidence. A judge in Florida, facing a multitude of unresolved disputes over evidence in the Biden administration's lawfare classified documents case against President Donald Trump, has delayed it indefinitely. Delayed it indefinitely. It was supposed to start on the 20th of this month, and now there is no place in time where another trial date has been set. Why? That's the issue before us. Why? This is a very serious thing, an action to be taken by the judge there in Florida. The multiple pretrial conflicts brought up by special counsel Jack Smith, who has an intense and unresolvable hatred toward Donald Trump, and Trump's defense team, most of which are not even close to resolution now, these issues. So Judge Eileen Cannon ruled that setting a trial date before resolution of the myriad and interconnected pretrial and classified evidence issues would be imprudent. That's putting it mildly. After continuing to cloud the whole case is the Supreme Court's decision to weigh in on President Trump's presidential immunity for his actions. Now, should criminal charges be pressed now against Jack Smith, the prosecutor, the special counsel appointed by Attorney General Merrick Garland? Probably so, because he's doing exactly the same thing that he accused Donald Trump of doing. Messing with the documents, as we're going to see. But all that is not even the worst news out there for the partisan special counsel, Jack Smith, whose team admitted in court that the FBI tampered with the evidence in the case, possibly rendering it unreliable. Wow. This is an evidentiary case. That's it. A report at the American Center for Law and Justice pointed out the irony of Mr. Smith admitting to evidence tampering in a case over the very documents he is accusing President Trump of mishandling. Wow. Like the boomerang effect, isn't it? The kettle calling the pot black, or whatever you want to say. The tampering admission came in a court filing in which prosecutors admitted there are some boxes where the order of items within that box is not the same as in the associated scans. That means after the documents were recorded, someone went in and changed the order, took some out, possibly put some in without documentation. Prosecutors previously had said, falsely, by the way, in court documents that the papers were, quote, in their original intact form as seized, unquote. But Smith's team now has admitted that was a lie. Wow. How did that come up? They were ready to go to trial on May 20th. At least they said so. They were pushing for a trial on May 20th. They weren't even going to disclose this problem that they knew was evidence tampering on their part. Why did they do that? They evidence tampered on their part in order to accomplish an agenda that was full of unlawful hate. It was motivated by power. The lust for power, perks, and position. And what was the underlying goal to preserve and protect that power? Please listen carefully. It was to protect the advance of globalism and keep Donald Trump from allegedly making America great again. They didn't want that. Biden is a globalist. The Clintons were globalists. Even George Herbert Walker Bush was a globalist. Even his son, a globalist. These were all globalist friends. And they were preparing the way for America to be absorbed into the new world order, the Great Reset, the new global order. And when Trump came along in 2015 down that escalator in New York and said, we're going to make America great again, which got put into the acronym MAGA, they said, no way, no how. We're right on the edge of accomplishing that which we have intended and sought to do since 1950, when Paul Warburg stood before the United States Senate and declared, we will have global government, world government, whether you want it or not. You either submit to it willingly or we'll take it by force. Ah, perhaps you didn't know about that. But if you had read my book, Seduction, if you had read my book, King of the Mountain, you'd know about it. Oh, you sure would know about it. If you had read the book Antichrist, you would sure know about it. You see, there's so many things that professing Christians don't know about. And what you don't know will hurt you. And is hurting you. Now, we go on. And by the way, we're just setting the stage here right now. We're still setting the stage for the bigger picture. Representative Jordan told the Department of Justice there is an investigation beginning and instructed Biden's bureaucrats to send him all information related to the mishandling of the classified documents. So now you see the tables have turned. It's not Trump who mishandled the documents. It's Biden and his DOJ and the FBI and the special counsel that mishandled the documents. Jordan also noted that Jack Smith, the special prosecutor, earlier attempted to tamper with a witness by offering a lawyer a judgeship if the lawyer got a witness to cooperate. Sounds an awful like bribery, doesn't it? And this supposedly is the sacrosanct, pure, holy prosecutor, special prosecutor, appointed by the Department of Justice to go get Donald Trump. Wow. And also, don't forget, special counsel Robert Herr's dismissing the charges of classified documents against President Biden because he didn't believe the president was fit to stand trial with all this chaos encircling the classified documents. And since Smith has basically condemned himself, Attorney General Merrick Garland should do the right thing and order Smith just to drop the charges. Will he? I think there's going to have to be a whole lot more pressure put here. Because the goal to destroy Donald Trump has nothing whatsoever to do with legalities. It has to do with one thing: get rid of all opposition to globalism. That's what it's about. If you do not understand that, you do not comprehend the nature of what is taking place. We'll be right back. Things got pretty stormy yesterday with somebody by the name of Daniels.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Justice run amok. We're not talking about justice anymore. We're talking about the pursuit of power, the unfettered pursuit of power, and the willingness to use the law to destroy anyone in your pathway. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Is that what God would do? Is that God's idea for law and order and justice? And if that's not God's idea for law and order and justice, then where's it coming from? Obviously, it's coming from the deceiver, who has control over people in the Justice Department. You could call it the Injustice Department, and who are carrying out these nefarious agendas and confederating together behind the scenes, which they are doing. And we barely scratched the surface yet. To bring about a so-called lawfare pressure, such as to completely eliminate the possibility of anyone being able to stand against the pursuit of globalism. You see, when you talk about the so-called immigration crisis, it's not about an immigration crisis. It's about globalism. Why do you think Mr. Biden is letting all those people in? To flood the country, to change the demographics of the country so that we will be much more easily assimilatable into a new global order, because the allegiance to the country is being diminished. The lawfare effort is an effort to destroy the allegiance and trust in the legal system so that chaos will reign supreme and we'll cry for anybody to kind of give us a deliverance. And so yesterday, things got stormy. A girl by the name of Stormy Daniels. She was called to testify up there in New York in a case that is so trumped up that even Democrats don't believe it has any reality. In fact, the Biden administration and the Department of Justice initially rejected anything about this case, said it was not real, it wasn't something they would pursue. But then along came pressure from a guy by the name of Pomerantz who wanted to destroy Mr. Trump. And so he put pressure through a book on Mr. Bragg, the attorney there, the prosecuting attorney in New York, who decided to create a whole new legal concept, make it up out of whole cloth, in order to try to create what at very most would have been a misdemeanor, which, by the way, was long past the statute of limitations, and to convert it into a felony so as to try to somehow bring Mr. Trump down because he would have committed a felony. That's really what it's about. But it all has to do with this Stormy Daniels. And that's not her real name. So Stormy Daniels gets up on the stand and she testifies about all the so-called salacious things that Donald Trump did with her permission. And the judge let it all out. He said he wouldn't let it out He told the prosecution that this kind of testimony would be totally inappropriate and he would not allow it, but he did allow it. Why did he allow it? Because he is also part of the agenda to destroy Donald Trump, Dr. Judge Marchand. And his daughter is one of the principal fundraisers for the Democrat Party in order to bring down Donald Trump. Oh, but he wouldn't recuse himself. Any reasonable man who was interested in law and order and justice and even the appearance of evil would have recused himself, but he didn't. Why? Because they're desperate, friends. They're desperate to bring down the one person they perceive standing in the way for the move toward a new global order. That, John Kerry said of Joe Biden the day he was inaugurated, that Joe Biden was the one to facilitate the launch into the Great Reset to take place by 2030. I'm not making this up. It seems like Americans have very short memories or don't really care that much, but you need to care. Because if you don't care and you don't pay attention, all of these things are going to take you unawares and you'll never even know what hit you. And let me tell you, ignorance is not bliss. Not when you lose all law and order and the trust of the judicial system that historically has been the best judicial system in the world and now is the mockery of the world, including in the face of Vladimir Putin. Can you imagine these world leaders in China, in Russia, and even Venezuela looking at the just total distortion and perversion of justice in this country? And they're saying, and these people want to tell us how to live? These people want to moralize on us? You got to be kidding me. This is dangerous stuff, my friends. So let's talk a little bit about Stormy. Perhaps you've heard. So she gets on the stand and tells all about this sexual encounter that she was told she couldn't testify to, but did anyway. The prosecution, bringing her on as a witness, actually led her to do that which the judge had prohibited. They should have been charged with contempt by the judge, but he wouldn't do that. Then he also let the testimony go in, and then after it was over, he said, well, you know, we shouldn't have really allowed that, and so I'm going to have to clear the air here, and I'm just going to have to tell the jury to ignore it. Really? How do you take something out of the jury's ear that they once heard? Can you see how foolish this is? This is the total perversion of law and order and justice in the name of, and it's just injustice. So let's look a bit at the background. Stormy Daniels then became criticized on social media. Why was Stormy Daniels criticized immediately on Stormy Daniels after her testimony? Because she was a consummate liar. In her own words, she was a consummate liar. For instance, Bo Luden shared two January 2018 statements with Daniels' signature saying the allegations of a sexual encounter with Trump were completely false. Those are her words, completely false. She said, I recently became aware that certain news outlets are alleging that I had a sexual and or romantic affair with Donald Trump many, many years ago. Daniels apparently said in a January 10th, 2018 statement, quote, I am stating with complete clarity that this is absolutely false. My involvement with Donald Trump was limited to a few public appearances and nothing more. He was gracious, professional, and a complete gentleman to me and everyone in my presence. She said rumors that I have received hush money from Donald Trump are completely false. I did have a relationship with Donald Trump. Trust me, you wouldn't be reading about it in the news. If you would be reading about it, you would be reading about it in my book. But the fact is, the matter is, these stories are not true. Now again, in 2018, she says, I'm not denying that there was that I met with Donald Trump. I'm denying this affair because it never happened, she said. Now, following the testimony, Daniels was slammed on social media. One fellow by the name of Alex said they will do anything to get Trump in jail. These letters are irrelevant, said Ryan. The case isn't about her. This is about election interference. Stormy's just a witness. Patty said she has sex on camera for a living. She now gets up and acts like a virgin. What a new low, even for Democrats. Well, again, in reality, this isn't a matter of Democrat-Republican. If Republicans did this, they ought to be shamed out of the Congress, out of the presidency, very much like Richard Nixon was shamed out of the presidency. The Democrat lawfare against President Donald Trump has hit headwinds, in other words. So I want to share with you some words that came in a short speech from the U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson. Please listen carefully. He said their classified documents cases on indefinite hold after prosecutors admitted that they corrupted the actual evidence in the case. New York's claim of business reporting misdemeanors is losing steam as witnesses testify and fail to document any illegality. Georgia's organized crime claims could fall flat if an appeals court rules that prosecutor Fannie Willis should be booted for conflicts with a paramour she hired to work on the case. And now House Speaker Mike Johnson is calling for the charges in all of these cases to be dropped. He's labeled them a coordinated political attack that have nothing whatsoever to do with law and order. They're orchestrated in order to hurt Trump's 2024 campaign to return to the Oval Office. In other words, they're election interference. In an address to reporters, Johnson emphasized that the cases against Trump extend beyond the individual and pose a threat to the people's faith in the American justice system. Indeed, they do. He said there's more than just President Trump at risk in this Democrat lawfare business. It's about the people's faith in our justice system. He said partisan prosecutors, double standard at the Department of Justice that is targeting Trump with charges that often are a stretch, but Biden's bureaucrats ignore other problems, such as the violent pro-Palestinian riots that are destroying college campuses and all of the Antifa stuff that came before, by the way. The speaker also pointed out numerous instances of biases that have been involved in Trump's court cases, including a Democrat district attorney, Judge Juan Merchan, whose daughter is a Democrat consultant and an assistant district attorney who was formerly an official at the DOJ and has received payments from the Democrat National Committee. And on it goes. He said it doesn't matter what political party you're in. You know, deep down, this is wrong. So is the words from a true Christian, Speaker of the House.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click sell church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Nothing but the truth. That's what we ought to be interested in. Nothing but the truth. When I was a trial lawyer and would call a witness the witness was always called to stand before the clerk of the court, raise their right hand and say, do you now solemnly swear that the testimony that you tell me state before this court shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help me God. Not once in 20 years of law practice did I ever hear anyone say they would not tell the truth. But the majority, at least 50% or more of the people on the stand, did not tell the truth, including police officers. In one case, in a pretrial hearing concerning a burglary issue, and I didn't handle many criminal cases, but in this particular case I did, because it was a client, the son of a client, and she begged me to handle her son's case. He was being charged with felony burglary. So I went to the house in the neighborhood after reading the police report and then compared the police report with what was there at the house and the orientation of the house and the streets and the sidewalks and all of that. And I came to the conclusion what the police wrote in the report couldn't possibly be true. They just made it up. Just made it up in order to try to get a conviction. So the matter came on for a preliminary hearing to see if the court would bind the case over for trial. And during that time, I had the opportunity to cross-examine these two police officers concerning their report. It only took maybe 10 or 15 minutes before the judge was so outraged at what they had done. Even though they had testified to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, he was so outraged that he picked up his gavel and literally slammed it down on the desk and said, case dismissed. Now, why do I bring that up? It's not to try to denigrate police officers in and of themselves, but they're supposed to be the ones who are defending the people, protecting the truth, and protecting us from chaos and injustice, right? But what if they become the engines of injustice? What if the very system of justice becomes the engine of injustice? Where do the people turn? It's every man for himself then, isn't it? Everyone does that which is right in his own eyes. So much, there goes law and order. So the reality is that law is based upon truth. If there's no truth, there's no law. The Bible says that the Word of God is both the truth and it's God's law. Now, if we don't honor and respect the truth giver and the law giver, then what happens to the law? And what happens to the truth? Now you understand why the fear of the Lord is at the foundation of all true law and order in a society such as the American system. Our founders knew that. They said, if we lose virtue, we've lost everything. You see, when you lose virtue, you get vice. When you lose virtue, you have abandoned truth. You've abandoned the fear of the Lord. You feel that there's nobody to judge you, nobody looking over your shoulder, nobody who's going to bring you to account. You can jolly well do what you want as long as you have enough political protection and cover to carry out your nefarious agenda. And that's exactly, my friends, what is happening today in America. So I want to talk to you a little bit more about this matter of truth. In my book, Renewing the Soul of America, it was endorsed by 38 national Christian leaders. Chapter 7 is called Nothing But the Truth. Nothing But the Truth. And it's a very simple chapter, but it would grab your heart. Back in 1992, which is when the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, there in my loft, son, you've been pleading the cause of men long enough. I want you to plead my cause in the land as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation here in America's greatest crisis hour. I said, yes, sir. We formed Save America Ministries the next year to rebuild the foundations of faith and freedom. And that spawned this radio program exactly 29 years ago. And today we begin the 30th year of Viewpoint. Today, confronting the deepest issues of America's heart and hope. We're doing that right now. The deepest issues. And they go to the heart of truth. And truth goes to the heart of we, the people, including professing Christian people, including pastors. Because to the extent that we abandoned God's authority in his truth, called the Bible, which is the fundamental constitution, to that extent, everything else fails. Law fails. Chaos ensues. Order falls apart. Even the laws of men no longer mean anything, and that's why the Constitution is seriously attacked today. I mean seriously attacked. The reason our Constitution is in danger today is because before that happened, the Bible became seriously attacked by the American people, even in our churches. You say, why do you mean even in our churches? Well, when Jesus says, whoever divorces their spouse causes them to commit adultery, and whoever marries the one so divorced commits adultery, but we decided starting in 1968 to say, that's okay, God knows our situation, he loves us anyway, and he's going to allow us to divorce our spouses, and then we concluded, well, God wants me happy, not holy, and therefore we can go ahead and remarry when our spouses are still living, even though God calls it adultery. What we have actually said is, we don't give a rip over what God has said. His word is not law in the household of faith anymore, and hasn't been for a very long time in this country, even in our evangelical churches. So our pastors have winked at all of these things, and then we think we can point the finger at the pagans out there who don't embrace any of this, and it just doesn't work, friends. God is saying, look, it's not the pagans, it's my people. It's my people. One of the most prominent authors in the country, Christian authors of the country today, spoke at the National Day of Prayer, I can't remember where it was, spoke to a group, and it came out in the news. He says, there's just one thing you need to do to change America. Just one thing. I thought, wow. Okay, I want to find out what the one thing is from his viewpoint. And remember, this guy is perceived to be a prophet. Yeah, that's right. He's perceived to be a prophet. Has sold millions of copies of his books, made the publisher in Fat City. I know the publisher. And so I looked. What did he say to the people, the one thing that would save America, the one thing that would change America? He said, you got to pray. Oh, well, I believe in prayer. I believe in prayer enough to where for 4 years, from 1994 to 1997, I actually was the chairman of the National Day of Prayer Task Force for the entire state of Virginia. Held events all over, sent out boku thousands of letters to pastors all over the state of Virginia, even got nasty letters in response. Pastors didn't want to hear it. I believe in prayer. I've been part of almost every major prayer movement in this country in the last 40 years, 30 years at least. All over the country. National Solemn Assemblies, and so on. But we still don't get it. So he quoted from 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I would hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. We've heard it over and over. I think God is just about ready to regurgitate upon his own word. He's heard that repeated back to him so many times across the last 30 years. So here's what that man said. Very passionately, he said, look, you know, if we want to see change, we got to pray. Well, I don't disagree with the prayer, but that's not all that God said. We want to believe it's all that God said, but it isn't what he said. He said, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then, not because you prayed, but because you turned from your wicked ways because you prayed, then I will hear from heaven, forgive your sin, and heal your land. So we had all kinds of themes. Heal our land. We started at the very end, heal our land. I remember we created a huge banner here at the Capitol in Virginia, held a great meeting there, held the governor's hand and all of his people around his desk, around a conference table. It was a great time. We prayed. We had pastors and people from all over Virginia came to the Capitol right there at the steps, and I spoke to them with the governor. We prayed. But nobody was responding. Hadn't responded for years. Because we thought that prayer was the whole thing, the kit and caboodle. And it is not. As A.W. Tozer, the famous pastor, said once, prayer is no substitute for obedience. No substitute for obedience. What we're missing is the will to obey. The will to do God's will. In other words, to be people of truth. In the inward part, not just in theoretical ways. Oh, yeah, I believe in the truth. Oh, yeah, I believe God's word is truth. Oh, yeah, I believe Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah, I believe that. Really? Then why don't you live that way? Why is it pastors are not living that way? Why is it they don't believe what God's word says and they justify it and make all kinds of compromises with the people in order to please the people rather than to please God? And then you can't understand why lawlessness is prevailing in the house of God and echoing out through the courthouse and the church house and the schoolhouses of America. Am I making any sense here? We still don't get it. So in 1992, Time magazine carried this headline on the front cover, lying. Everybody's doing it. Honest. Another lead article said, lies, lies, lies. And the byline said, is anybody around here telling the truth? That was in 1992, friends. The very same year that Forbes Business Magazine came out with his 75th anniversary edition, and asked the question, devoted its entire magazine to ask the question, whatever happened to virtue in America? Then Newsweek, the very same year, contained this headline, Sea of Lies. Wow. A Time CNN poll in that very same year said 75% of Americans believe that less honesty exists in government than existed a decade ago. Just think what they would say today. Friends, get a copy of the book, Renewing the Soul of America. I want to encourage your heart. There's a reason why 38 national Christian leaders endorse this book. It gives the real answers. It'll encourage you. It'll strengthen you. It'll give you hope. Renewing the Soul of America. An $18 book, yours for $15, $18 book, yours for $15, right there on the website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries. Do it today. Add $5 for postage and handling and become a partner. Friends, this is tough business. We're speaking in the name of the Lord, not in the name of a political party or constitution. Thus saith the Lord, let's tell the truth.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.